Some days call for working up a sweat, working on your passion, and endless action. Ditch the glitch with Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free. Refreshing flavors like strawberry kiwi and blackberry lemonade. Scientifically formulated to support physical energy, hydration, focus, mood, and social stamina. Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free. Hydrating energy. Tap the banner to learn more.
Pro savings days are back at Lowe's. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Popsicles, sprinklers, a cool breeze. Talk about refreshing. You know what else is refreshing this summer? A brand new phone with Verizon. Yep, get a new phone on any plan with Select Phone Trade-In and My Plan. And lock down a low price for 3 years on any plan with My Plan. This is a deal for everyone, whether you're a new or existing customer. Swing by Verizon today for our best phone deals. 3 year price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate only. Additional terms and conditions apply for all offers.
Your sausage McMuffin with egg didn't change. Your receipt did. The sausage McMuffin with egg extra value meal includes a hash brown and a small coffee for just $5. Only at McDonald's for a limited time.
Prices and participation may vary.
Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero here on the Tour of Coach podcast, where we bring you the best mental coaches, fitness experts, teachers, players, everything from my journey in the game of golf to help you learn to play better golf, teach better golf, and enjoy the game. Come on in. We're going to have some fun.
All right. So joining us here on Golf Coach Development and the Tour Coach is my good friend Justin Parsons. Adam Schreiber is going to try to join us here in just a bit, coming off his big U.S. Open win with J.J. Spaun. And I think, Justin, I want your thoughts on it first. But I thought the cool thing about J.J., I mean, it just shows you, you know, from you saw all the stats and the stuff. And I think Monday morning qualifier guy put the thing up of his list of years and where he was in Canada. Tour card bouncing back and forth. I mean, it just shows you how hard the journey is, and not everybody is a Scotty Scheffler, a Justin Thomas, or a Rory. And there's a lot of different paths. And I think you can, as a coach and teacher, I use it as motivation for some of my guys that are Corn Ferry guys or play in Canada. You know, because I'm sure Justin, you've had guys that get to the point also where they question, is it worth to keep going, and so forth like that. Curious what your takeaways were from it and what these folks can learn.
Well, I mean, certainly, you know, JJ has put his head up in some big golf tournaments and won a couple of golf tournaments in the last couple of years. And I think we need to make sure that we don't detract from the incredible accomplishments of a player.
Right.
And I think we always want to try and make sure that we use the primary is always the player. The player is the person who puts the performance in. They're the brave ones under pressure trying to tackle that very, very difficult golf course like JJ did. Mm-hmm. I think that he has exemplified somebody who has worked very, very hard to become technically proficient. And I think Adam has been a big, big part of that. You know, an excellent ball striker. You could see just how reliable his little left to right shot, how many fairways he hit. He played a fabulous opening round and he also played a fabulous closing round when he was, what was he, 5 over after 6 holes. And, you know, a lot of people would have taken that this day's not going to go well for me. I'm going to, you know, I can kind of mail it in from here. And he kind of did the opposite and got himself into a situation where he was given the opportunity to go win a golf tournament. And he did that. So, you know, from my side, I think you're right. I think it should add fuel to a lot of players. When you have those really supremely difficult golf courses, they do level the playing field an awful lot. You know, you drive it as far as you like at Oakmont, and it really doesn't matter. So, I mean, if you're a JJ Spaun or a Brian Harman or somebody like that, who, you know, really puts the pedal down, hits a lot of fairways, stays in control of their emotions, stays in control of their strategy, don't get overawed by these big moments. And, you know, all of a sudden, JJ comes out as a US Open champion. I was thrilled for him.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Really good lad as well. I've been fortunate to have a few practice rounds with him and walking with Adam. And, you know, I was absolutely thrilled for Adam too. Funny, I sent my dad said to me, who would you like to win? Because none of my guys are anywhere near. When in the tournament, I said, you know, I'd love to see JJ win. Because
by the way, that hot tip I gave everybody Harris English on the front end.
I know. Well, it is what it is. But Harris looked great all week. But, you know, watching Adam work, you know, he worked so hard. He helped build Anthony Kim's golf swing, which, you know, was an incredibly, wonderfully athletic, repeatable, on plane, functional golf swing. He's taken a player like Sam Ryder, who I would class Sam as a certainly a friend of mine and somebody I've spoken to. And I don't think by his own admission you would think that Sam would class himself as a unbelievable ball striker. But Adam has definitely, through all of his systems, he's helped Sam achieve things from a ball striking perspective, really just through dedication and hard work to many of Adam's systems. And then when you see JJ, who, you know, maybe similar to Brian Harman or someone like that, who's a, you know, he's not a massive guy in stature, you know, sort of mid-range ball speed, and, you know, has really understood how to control the club. And I'm very proud to kind of call Adam one of my friends out there, and somebody that I bounce ideas off, and we talk about golf swings and stuff like that. And, you know, seeing one of those guys who just works so hard, and, you know, it really doesn't matter, you know, who, at what stage their careers are at, you know, Adam will take people on, and he'll do their best for them. And he loves the process of getting people better at hitting the golf ball.
Yeah. And again, I love about it. He'll take anybody basically at any stage, and he jumps head first in, and also head first over a bike last year, I think it was too. I mean, and a character, but a great, great guy, and great coach.
Well, I think that's worth talking about, Tony, because I can't remember where that happened to him. Was it Greensboro somewhere? But yeah, he, for those of you who don't know Adam too well, and he certainly wouldn't probably tell you all of this himself. He'll prefer to talk about the golf swing. But he travels to a lot of tournaments in a camper van. He navigates his way to the golf course or to the local stores and stuff. Is it an electric bike or is it a pedal? It's like a half electric or half pedal. So anyway, he came off this thing and went over the handlebars.
This will shock you. I haven't ridden a bike in a while. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, me neither. But, you know, he came off this bike and I think he shattered his pelvis. He did something to his spine. And at one point we were really quite concerned that we were never going to see Adam out on the, you know, on the ranges again. And, you know, for him to have had that happen to him, come through that, you know, continue to work as hard, and also kind of testament to the close bond he has with his players, that his players hung in there with him, you know, and he wasn't able to be out very much. And I think a couple of people maybe kind of, I think Dana Dahlquist helped a couple of people, and, you know, a couple of guys kind of stepped in. But really cool to see him come back from really a nasty injury, because he's not a spring chicken anymore, and be able to come through and have, you know, one of his guys win the US Open, which again was just so cool for him.
We were talking before we went, you know, live or recorded or whatever, about, you know, you talked about traveling in an RV and all that, and how hard he works, and that's not always as glamorous as people think. And I prefaced that with, I had somebody from one of these groups that mentioned about, like, hey, that's all I want to just teach tour players. I want to come watch you teach tour players. So I was like, you know, I don't know that any of us went into this just thinking that's all we're going to do. But I certainly don't think it's as glamorous as some people think.
You know, I agree with you. It's there are always, even, you know, from just speaking from my perspective, there are a lot more difficult, challenging days than there are celebratory type of days. And then when you combine that with the fact that, you know, you're all around the country, and you know, in Adam's case, he's you know, he's in the latter half of his life. You know, he's not got young kids and things anymore, but he's delved headfirst into golf and into the way the body works. And, you know, mm-hmm. we've seen him on the range with all sorts of systems, whether it be little balance boards and bands and things like that. And he's very unafraid to go ahead and deliver his system to the player when the player needs it. And furthermore, you know, I would say that his existence is probably quite lonely. I don't know that he's, you know, he's up there. He's where tonight? He's in Detroit and he's on a range with someone tonight, which is why he's not chatting to us. So, you know, he's right out there, kind of like a lone wolf, just getting on with trying to make players better. And further to that, worked really, really hard with JJ for many years, to your point, where JJ's on and off kind of Canada Tour, Corn yeah. Ferry Tour, working his way up. So, I mean, if JJ's not making that much money at that point, Adam's not certainly making much money from JJ at that point either. So I think, you know, those of you who look at kind of what we do, you know, have to recognize that there's a lot of sacrifices that come from what we do. And Adam's someone who has made those sacrifices, always with a smile on his face and sometimes with a broken pelvis, but it's always good to see him out there.
We have any questions from anybody, anything anybody wants to talk about? Well, we're hopefully Adam's going to be able to join us here shortly, may or may not, don't know. Hopefully he's coaching the guy up and the guy starts striping it. But we've all had those evening sessions. I can tell you, nobody wants to be there at 7:30 on the round.
No.
Right, after not. The first round. So anybody have any questions or anything they want to talk about?
I'll tell you one more quick Schreiber story, T-ball.
Oh, this is will be good.
Yeah, it's a kind of proves to how much he loves golf, like JP was saying. So 24 players, I think it was Saturday, was when Sam Ryder made the most birdies in a round at the Players' Championship, I think. Is that correct? Was that Saturday?
That rings a bell, yeah.
Friday or Saturday? I got a ticket, thankfully, and Jackson doesn't drink much, but we had a couple tequilas. We were sitting on 17. Here comes Sam Ryder from 16 green to 17, and who is hustling through people as best he can to get a vantage point to watch him hit one on 17, Adam Schreiber.
Yeah.
Like, and he goes to so many tour events and rounds and watches his guys actually play the game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that guy, I think epitomizes the love of golf, but also sacrifice for the game.
Well, caddies, Tony as well. I caddied in Napa, and I think he may have caddied. I mean, he's caddied two or three times, even since his injury. I think he's been on the bag for a couple of people, which, you know, with what happened to him, was pretty remarkable.
And I mean, we saw him. We sat at a table with him at the U.S. Open on Wednesday evening. Before, yeah. And I mean, he was talking about a golf tournament he was getting ready to go play in too.
That's right.
Yeah,
he loves it. Loves playing. Goes.
Yeah,
hits balls, finds places to go and play when he's on the road and stuff like that. And you know, you gotta really admire someone who still loves doing that. And you know, he always, every time I have a conversation about him playing, he goes, you know, if I just get to the tees that are right for me, I can still put a beat down on some of these guys, you know, as long as I'm not going to do it from 7,500 yards, but if you put me on 6-8, I can still hang with these guys. You know, he loves
the competition.
Yeah. And you know, it'd be worth talking, Tony, about some of the, you know, from my understanding with Adam, you know, he really builds golf swings from the ground up. He yeah. looks very much at, you know, how the lower body works, similar to some degree, the way that you will train a lot of your players.
I like all his stuff. I'll be honest. I wouldn't say steal it, but I watch all the stuff he puts out. And if you were to ask me, like somebody say that teaches like in a similar type way yeah. and has things like he would be the top of my list. I mean, and Jackson, who's worked for both of us, could probably answer that question better than anybody, but I love what he does. It's very athletic, very much yeah. from the ground up.
Ground up, a lot of single leg work yeah. that he does. You know, mm-hmm. you see his players doing a lot of single work stuff. And then, you know, he really gets into core stability and how the core responds mm-hmm. to striking skills. You know, it was fun watching his Instagram stuff You know, those of you who haven't seen it need to go on there. And he puts these, you know, lovely little things up where it's like really fast strikes on medicine balls and throw medicine balls against walls and things like that. And he performs all these himself to obviously try and keep that ball speed and that strike up as he does it. But you know, and I think, you know, similar to you, he likes to put in that foundation of things. You know, I've asked him through the years about what he thinks about some of the work I'm doing with Harris or with Brian Horman. You know, and more recently he talked to me about JJ's golf swing, and we talked a little bit about the fact it gets a little bit looser at the top with his driver, but it kind of has to, you know, he has to kind of complete a little bit more and get a little bit more ball speed out of it.
Jackson, he's trying to get in. Can you send him the link via text?
And he and I kind of talked about whether JJ's golf swing needed to be more stable through the bag. You know, and that was a really, you know, it's really cool talking to an expert like him. From my perspective, and then to see him go on to the success he's had is pretty cool. So
at Sierra, discover great deals on top brand workout gear, like high quality walking shoes, which might lead to another discovery.
40,000 steps, baby. Who's on top now, Karen?
You've taken the office step challenge a step too far. Don't worry, though. Sierra also has yoga gear. It might be a good place to find your zen. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin at 16 weeks. And most of those people maintain skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILLY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, well, let's hear it. What's it been like? Anything changed lately?
No, not really. I mean, it's, you know, right back to reality. PGB Tour.
I got a couple questions that a couple folks had actually sent me. Sure. If it's okay, Jax, I was going to read a couple of them that some people had texted me. Was kind of going through when you get a player, we commented, we gave you the longest introduction by far and greatest introduction we've ever given a teacher on one of these. But, you know, talking about all the work you've done with JJ. And, you know, I think people don't always understand that the path to winning a major or winning a tour event isn't always a straight line up, and there's good times and there's bad times. How did you help JJ during the times when they weren't always good? And how do you approach players that you get that aren't at the top and working their way up, handle those ups and downs?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, honestly, like I've been, we've had some dark moments. You know, we were searching for the right matchups for him. He wasn't hitting it great. He was finding a way to miss cuts. I mean, this was the end of last year. You know, we're 160th on the money list. 8 weeks maybe to play in the season, something like that. You know, looking like, hey, we better get it together or we're going to be looking for a job. you know, so it's a little bit of stat work, like analyzing, hey, buddy, if we do this better, you know, we got two shots around here or whatever, you know, but then there were some demons, you know, missing two footers to miss a cut, dunking wedges in the water to miss a cut, you know, it's hitting the odd driver, like out of nowhere, been driving it great, all of a sudden we hit it off the planet to miss a cut, like stuff like that. So they were definitely not, I don't think it was mechanical, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that was fear of failure and, you know, stuff like that. I think one of the biggest things he's learned is giving himself the permission to fail. You know? And I think that's massive for any professional golfer. You know, if you're going to play at your highest level, you got to give yourself the permission to fail. And I think he figured that out somewhere along the way. And I think that unlocked a whole new world for him. You know, and I made up some stuff, honestly, for taking my way. Like, you know, I told some stories that were maybe embellished a little.
No way. Yeah.
What's that?
No way, really?
Yeah, maybe. Just to breed confidence, you know. To paint the right picture, you know, like, I mean, but it, I believe what I say when they're swinging good, you know, like I was like, dude, you got to envision two pillars down both sides of the fairway. You know, this golf swing ain't reaching either of those pillars on either side. So just let it go, bro. You know, that kind of stuff. So, and I fully believe what I'm saying when I say it, but you know, told him that Anthony used to do that, and maybe that wasn't so true. But
Shives, a lot of the young coaches that listen to the stuff, and we're so cool to have you on. Like, you know, we know how important it is to swing the golf club properly and to be in good physical condition and all of that. But it's, you know, again, it's interesting from my side. Like the first thing that really comes out of your mouth from these experiences, the fact that you've kind of mentored him mentally a little bit and gone through some dark times, and we really were talking about, you know, in our introduction to you, how much you sacrifice and how many difficult times there are out on tour. And you know, if you can elaborate, like I always say, there's a lot more difficult days than there are good days.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And you know, and yeah, I mean, I think that's the key for all these guys, right? If we can, like, none of our stuff is any good unless we can teach them to get the heck out of their own way and trust it, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, otherwise, you know, and, I mean, this one's true. Like, you know, like, Anthony gave himself the permission to fail at 15, you know, and I tell all my guys that story. And, you know, this kid lost player of the year, AJGA, at 15, and he's like, that's the last time, Schreiber, I try and not hit a ball somewhere. It's like, from now on, I can live with myself if I go down trying to hit it where I want to hit it. And that's massive, dude.
100%.
You know? Because how else are you going to figure out if you got it or not?
Right.
You know? At the end of the day. But, yeah. And I've been spoiled. I mean, I feel like he spoiled me because, yeah, maybe the tough life he had, golf was never going to be more important than golf should be. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us don't live in that reality, you know. And like, I mean, I for the longest time until Scotty came along, honestly, I had the question, is it possible to be the best in the world without a backstory, you know, without something causing some big chip on your shoulder, you know what I mean, to create that FU that you need to be the best.
Go that back door,
I'm about to lock it. All right. The shuttles aren't leaving yet, though, are they?
No.
All right, cool.
That's more of the glamorous glamorous parts of tour life.
Thanks for letting me know. Shutting it down tonight, baby.
Shrives, the glamorous part, porta-potties and shuttles.
Yeah, right? Like, if people – yeah, like, that was all that U.S. Open stuff was great. I was just on this range with Sam for – you know, hour and a half after we shot even par when everybody's lighting this joint up.
Yeah.
It's been swinging good. And, you know, we're trying to figure out why we didn't perform. You know, you've been there. We've all been there too many times, man.
I got a question for you because I deal with – I'm just curious how you – when you have a guy shoot even par, he's been playing great golf, right? And he comes in after that, everybody's lighting it up. What's your approach? And explain that there's not a big difference between shooting even and lighting that place up. And where
I know, but it's like figuring out – like he lost some face control, which kind of killed our wedge numbers, killed the confidence on some tough pins. You know, that we got to be able to get after. So I actually feel like it was a really productive session, you know, and he figured it out again. Mm-hmm. That's like, you know, like I think that's what we got to do, especially on a Thursday, right?
Right. Yeah.
Got to lead him down a path where he figures it out and he's got something that he feels like, hell yeah, I'm going to go get it tomorrow, you know? So
take us through the week. Starting with Thursday with JJ last week and what, you know, kind of what you did afterwards or before and your conversations. Just always curious. I did this with Justin after, you know, a little
I
bit.
I tell everybody, Justin knows this. I tell everybody this Lou Holtz story, right? Like I saw Lou once and he's like, Adam here, right, coach, whatever, however he talks, you know? And he's like, I'm going to give you a little piece of advice and I'm listening. Cause obviously he knows what the heck he's doing. Right. He's like, these players, you need to either put your foot as far up their ass as you can or your arm around their shoulder. Nothing in between. They either need love or tough love. I was like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And he's like, you know what? It's not always as obvious as you think. So, like, we're walking off the range on Thursday, and JJ, this is like the best warm-up of the year, right? And he's like, bro, I need a Lou Holtz talk. I'm like, what? You know, thinking like, you got to be feeling it right now. And he's like, man, I'm like, what's going on, dude? You didn't miss a shot. He's like, yeah, I feel like I got to play perfect golf and this place still might eat my lunch. I'm like, first off, that doesn't exist. Perfect golf. I said, secondly, like players, did you play perfect golf? You know, you haven't showed up with perfect golf. If we ever do, we're going to win by 10, but I don't think perfect golf. Such a thing exists. I said, what exists and what you did unbelievable at players and what we need this week is a perfect attitude, you know? And I said, look, our tagline from now till the end of the week is going to be, are you going to react or respond? You know, because you're going to hit some shots at Oakmont that you think are money and they're going to turn out like ass. Right. I mean, quite frankly, you know, and yeah. You're going to get some breaks and, you know, the irony of the whole week, you know, so he went and he played and I mean, bogey free. Are you kidding me? Like,
unreal.
You know, like, yeah, 900-1 unreal. But, right. Like outrageous.
Wish you could have told me ahead of time.
No shit. Right. And certainly why it wasn't what I was seeing coming off that, off the range. Right. You know, but I mean, and then it's like, you know, everything's good. Not really any issues the rest of the week, you know, like we talked about it. I'm like, bro, you're swinging so good. Like get your numbers, decide on your shot, make sure you decide a smart shot and then let it go, man. You're like, it's the best you swung since I've known you. Your misses are going to be tiny, you know? So just trust it and let it go. So what's interesting is like, I feel like we lost the players because of the rain delay, right?
Okay.
And if we play Sunday night, my head, at least we get it done. Okay. And I was pissed and, you know, the weather kicked our butt. We didn't get to finish Sunday night and we came back with a wind switch and the Irish kid on St. Patty's Day. Not a lot in our favor, right? You know, like let's face it. Okay. And then we just watched full send off the first tee and flush it on 17 in the drink, you know, and like, what are you going to do as a coach? I mean, he performed. We tried to do everything we could. We got the track man into the wind, practiced a shot on 17, same setup, same line, everything. Thought I was doing everything right, right? Mad fail. And so you got to spin it, right? Like he performed, he hit a good shot. You don't want him to take away a negative. So you're like, bro, it's going to come back to us in a bigger, more meaningful situation. You know? And so... like, I feel like we don't win this tournament without that rain delay, right? Because the way he got effed on those first eight holes, and the attitude he had in the locker room was pretty scary, you know? And so, you know, in the locker room, I was like, all right, here comes the size 15, you know where. You know, because he's just pitching. And I mean, he's like, can you believe these breaks? And I'm like, no, the golf course bent you over, buddy. I'm like, that's as bad a breaks as I've ever seen anybody get. We can leave right now. I said, but will we have taken four back with 10 to play? You know, like, who wouldn't have taken that at the start of the week, right? So, you know, like, you can go play these last 10 and make this moment bigger than it is, or you can realize those two little girls are what's really important and just go compete like you know how and put golf where you want it. I'm like, I promise if you make it bigger than it is, you're not going to like yourself come Monday, Tuesday. And I think that's what he did well, you know? Went back out, reset his attitude, and he goes to me, I was doing everything you said. I was hitting my number. I was fully trusting the process. I was letting it go. I even did it the first four holes today. But after that break on four, now I've been guiding that son of a bitch everywhere. And I'm like, well, the choice is yours, bro. I said, you know what works, man. You know? I said, no regrets, you know? So, super proud of the kid, man. He's really good, man. He's a straight flusher, man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a great kid and a great dad. That stuff, you know.
That's more important.
You guys know how important that is to me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, brilliant. It's cool stuff.
We have any questions, Jackson, or me and JP just will keep asking?
You can keep firing, T-Ball.
When you started with him, Tribes, when you first started working with him, like what type of stuff have you done from a golf swing perspective? Like, you know, where did you start? Where did you go? And you know, what kind of things did you hone on? I love the way you teach, by the way. I love the stuff you do with all the drills and exercise.
Yeah, he was going into extension when we started. You know what I mean? So we worked his body and we worked his feet and his pelvis so he didn't hump it basically on the downswing. But what's interesting, and it took me a minute to figure out, is he likes his arms nice and up in front of him, which is, if I had a model, that probably isn't the one I'm teaching exactly, you know? And the way he works his feet, he can hit a nice little push fade off it, you know? So it's a fade from underneath, if you will, or fade from on plane with a lot of rotation.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a little bit to understand the matchup exactly that he wanted, and I felt like, you know, gave him the most confidence in all honesty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it really isn't, you know, it isn't exactly like what I was used to, but I like it, you know.
Further to that, but you know, again, for these guys sort of listening, you know, obviously you've got an idea in your mind as to that we all do as to how you'd like the golf club to be swung, and then JJ, obviously a very talented player, comes and he's got a little bit of a different feel, and you've then adapted to what he felt and what gave him confidence. And I think it's very interesting, and for those younger coaches, just how much that you have to put the player first in those situations.
Yeah, I think you do that better, as good as anybody I know, man. You know, like the varieties of guys you teach, and they all swing nice and all have room for error, yet they're definitely no cookie cutter models.
You know, I appreciate that.
I really do. And it's like, mm-hmm. I mean, that's how I'm learning, is from that stuff, you know, and all what we're all doing, you know? And yeah, it's a different matchup than like what I would have said was my model, but it's a powerful matchup, especially for what he can do, you know what I mean? And
well, when I see a guy being able to aim down the left half of the fairway and just stripe it for 4 days out of around a place like Oakmont, where your heart's in your mouth because you know anytime you miss it you're going to make a bogey or worse. I mean, that was incredible golf.
No, it's nice, man, you know, and it's nice to understand what makes him feel that, you know, and it's a little different than like, it's a little different than if you had a kid at 14 and you were going to make him as strong in all the areas you wanted to make them, and mm-hmm. how you would design that golf swing, right? But he's obviously very good, was an All-American in college, you know, never really had a coach, kind of did it all on his own, you know, tinkered with a couple coaches on tour, never really had some much success. But so he's obviously got boatloads of talent.
Yeah.
You know? And then it's understanding what his body can and can't do. And, you know, taking advantage, like his feet are his superpower, in my opinion. You know, like he's a skateboarder. For him to generate, like he's generating, you know, mid-high 170s with not much effort off of that little frame, you know. And I think that's pretty damn efficient. So, you know, and like he's communicated really well through it because that's helped, you know, that's everything to a coach, right? Like you're only as good as how well they communicate to you as far as being able to lead them down the right path.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm not saying it the best way, but
no, you're saying it perfect.
That's you're saying it perfect, about, right?
You know? So it's like, and the mind stuff, man, without any of that, none of our work works.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like we got to free them up somehow too. So we all got to be a little Doc Rotella at times or whatever, yeah. You know?
We have any questions from anybody for Shribes? We got about 7 minutes because we set this to start at 7 and we're not very technologically advanced. Any of us could work on Zoom.
And there's a shovel. There's a shovel in Detroit.
Anyway, yeah. We don't want to miss it already. The yeah.
Not like I got to walk through a bad neighborhood or anything to get back.
couldn't think of a better town for it to happen. But
right. Oh yeah. Man, the best was when I'm on my electric bike in Houston and not in a great spot, and my phone dies and my no GPS. Now my electric bike is blinking because it's dying, and I'm like, oh boy, this is gonna get interesting. Fortunately, I limped into somewhere I recognize, but yeah.
Jackson, I think we had a question. If you want to read it real quick, we got 7 minutes, six
question.
Minutes.
Can you elaborate more on the matchups you found to make JJ better?
Yeah, like, so his matchup would be, say, less of, you know, like I would have said Anthony had the traditional load, like spine to the right, upper body kind of slightly off the ball, you know, looking for that diagonal line at the top, so to speak. You know, JJ's almost like more like a Scotty, where the pelvis is shifted to the right, upper body's almost, or spine's almost zero at the top, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's been a pretty good bit of rise in the lower body and hopefully some tuck, right? So now it sits down, expands, and he can really leverage the ground with his feet. Like, it's all designed to really take advantage of his superpower, really, which I think is his feet and his ability to turn, right?
It's interesting, Shrives, so you mentioned that because, you know, I think Nicholas shared that pattern with Scheffler. Louis Oosthuizen also shares that kind of pattern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that little
that little lateral load. And it's a difficult thing to teach because it, you know, you get them you get a guy into reverse spine and then all sorts of terrible things happen. But there's that little nuanced ability to load the pelvis and stay centered without getting into reverse spine. That's really interesting.
Right. And the right push for the feet through the feet in that load creates a natural fall, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And a nice push out, you know? Fallback seems to be the nemesis to me for that pattern.
Yes.
Right.
Right side bend. And
yeah. Too much right side bend, too much fallback, too much lower half out from under you.
Yeah.
Right.
Not a good extension pattern, that one.
I'm getting some kind of funky ass marketing call here.
Tell them you're not interested.
I'm not. Spam Central. All right, there.
Jackson,
you go.
We got anything else? We got 3 minutes. Well, Shribes, thanks for taking the time to do this. I know you.
Yeah, sorry, I'm such a cluster, man. You know how it is. So.
Totally. Congratulations. Well deserved and happy for
you. Shribes, are you going to Scotland? Are you going to Scotland?
I am.
Beautiful.
How about that?
You gonna take the RV?
I'm not taking the RV. I'm going to Scotland and Ireland.
Beautiful. Hey, I got to take you to a couple of places in Port Rush.
Hey, JP, I want to stay a few days in Ireland, so I got to get a few hot spots from it.
Wait, I'll hook you up, yeah.
All right. Love it. Thank you, brother.
Congratulations.
Going to
you guys are the best, man. I miss you guys. See you soon.
You're the best.
Take care.